Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open up your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy, our scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 9. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. One of Kelly's favorite books is this book by Elizabeth Elliot, Keep a Quiet Heart. She will demand that this goes right back into her hands after I read this, because she treasures this. But there's a little book in here, I mean a little page in here, several ways to make yourself miserable. Several ways to make yourself miserable, and it says this: count your troubles, name them one by one. At the breakfast table, if anybody will listen, or as soon as possible thereafter. Number two, worry every day about something. Don't let yourself get out of practice. It won't add a cubit to your stature, but it might burn a few calories. Number three, pity yourself. If you do enough of this, nobody else will have to do it for you. Number three, how to make yourself miserable. Number four, devise clever but decent ways to serve God and mammon. After all, a man's got to live. Number five, make it your business to find out what the Joneses are buying this year and where they're going. Try to do them at least one better, even if you have to take out another loan to do it. Okay? Number six, stay away from absolutes. It's what's right for you that matters. Be your own person. Don't allow yourself to get hung up on what others expect of you. Number seven, make sure you get your rights. Never mind other people's. You have your life to live and they have theirs. Number eight, don't fall into any compassion traps. The sort of situation where people can walk all over you. If you get too involved in other people's troubles, you may neglect your own. And then number nine, don't let Bible reading and prayer get in the way of what's really relevant. Things like television and newspapers. Invisible things are eternal. You want to stick with the visible ones. They're where it's at now. Several ways to make yourself absolutely miserable. What's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is contentment. And that's what we want to study tonight. How to be content. The importance of contentment. Realizing that God has provided everything I need for my present happiness. Now, it begins with trusting God's will. If you look over at the book of Proverbs, and you go to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, the scripture says this, 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. It begins, contentment begins with trusting God's will. You have a will, you have what you think is the right thing to do, but fundamentally for you to be content, you've got to initially say, Lord, I recognize that you have a plan for me, that you have a will in my life, and that if I follow that will, I'll be happy. I'll be contented. Maybe happy's not the best word. Maybe joyful would be the best word. If I am in the center of God's will, I'll be joyful. So it begins with trusting God's will. The second thing is God's presence is the most important of all. Look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13. Excuse me. 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" James Dobson has been a friend to the church for his whole life. He was a psychologist, went to USC, got a PhD in psychology, and many of you have listened to Dr. Dobson on the radio. And Dr. Dobson had kids of his own, and he had a son named Ryan. And during the time when Ryan was a teenager, Ryan battled some things. It was sort of obvious. And so there was a period of time in Dr. Dobson's life when he was really interested in reaching the college generation. And he did a series, some of y'all may have heard, I think we have it in our library, called Life on the Edge. And in that series, he went to the castle at Glen Eyrie Conference Center in Colorado Springs, and he spoke to several hundred college students there on issues about college life. And he came to the end of one of his messages, and he talked about his son Ryan, and Ryan was actually there in the room. And he talked about all that he had done. He talked about all the books he had written. And then he said this. He said, "You know, I've realized the most important thing of all is having Jesus." He said, "Because when we have Jesus," he said, we're going to heaven eventually. We're going to spend eternity with heaven." And then he got teared up and he started talking about his family. And he said, "You know, the most important thing to me is that they're all going to be there." And he told the story of getting with Ryan, and he said, "Ryan, whatever you do, on that day," talking about the day of the Lord, talking about the day when Jesus comes again, or the day, you know, the day of the Lord, when either we're taken up to heaven in the sky, or the day that Jesus comes again, if we've died before that. But he said, "Ryan, on that day, I got one request. Just be there. Be there on that day." God's presence is more important than stuff. God's presence is more important than circumstances. God's presence is more important than the nitpicky things that rob us of joy and contentment. And this scripture makes it clear that when he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," that is really what is important, and it kind of puts the things that rob us of our contentment in perspective. You know, this life is like it's like riding rapids. You ever been on a whitewater rafting trip? You go for a time, and you're in this boat, depending on the kind that you've done, but the kind I'm used to, there's about six people in a boat, and you go down this rapids, and of course you want it to be as rough as you could ever. Y'all are giggling. There's a story behind this, but we're not okay. Robert just revealed that he took Allison whitewater rafting on their honeymoon. So that's anyway. We're going to hear that later, but not tonight. Okay. But anyway, the point is, you know, you've gone this white and you hit this white water. It's rough, and then you kind of at the end of that, there's kind of a calm time. You get resettled in, then you hit rapids again. Hey, you know, I'm learning. Life's kind of like that. There's rapids. There's the easy times. But the bottom line is all of this will pass. Hey, look, what about those Christians that are dying? I think about that. When that newspaper came out about 2 weeks ago, and the headline of the Gainesville Sun said, the Islamic State beheads Christians. That was on the top of our paper. Man, that just hit me. I'm like, is this happening in our world? Well, let me say this, you know, praise God if they're believers, they had Jesus and they're with him. Because the Bible teaches this life is but a vapor. And all of this stuff we allow to rob us of our joy and steal our contentment, we think it's all so important. The bottom line is, when we get there on that day, be there. That's important. So God's presence is the most important thing in life. All right, now, I want you to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Go to the Old Testament. See a story of someone who was not contented. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to actually read verses 6 and following. This is a story about Saul who got impatient. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now, if you go over to verse 13, we realize that Samuel never intended for him to do that. Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly." If you go back to chapter 10 and verse 8, I think is a verse where it says, where Samuel said to Saul, "You wait on me for that sacrifice." They would hold a sacrifice before they went to war. Saul got impatient. He was not contented to wait. He said, "We've got to go to war. They're gathering up here." And so he ended up doing the sacrifice himself. And in verse 13 of our passage, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" A price is to be paid for lack of contentment. It's very important and it's very dangerous when we cannot learn to be content with what God has given us. One thing that Kelly's dad taught me early on when I was a student here, he used to say this: if something's of the Lord will guide you and it won't go away. It's the devil that wants you to make a quick decision. The devil loves for you to be trapped, and all of a sudden, I'm discontented. I got to do this. And you go make a decision, and you haven't waited on the Lord. What does the Bible say? Those that wait upon the Lord, there is blessing in contentment. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, let's go to that verse. We're talking about contentment tonight. Philippians is a great book about contentment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God is working behind the scenes. I've told you this story a couple of times, but it illustrates this in such a huge way. Ruth Graham was the daughter of a missionary, Dr. Bell, and Ruth Bell Graham, and she was overseas in China, and And Dr. Bell put her in a boarding school, and she didn't want to go to that boarding school. She was a young girl, and she talked about crying, and she wrote her daddy a letter, who was a missionary, her dad, Mr. Bell, Reverend Bell, and she wrote him a letter, and she says in her writings that she stained it with her tears to show him how broken she was to be away from her mom and dad. And she said, I sent that letter off. And he made me stay there. And she said, I always wondered why God left me there. And then she met Billy Graham. And of course, when they met, Billy Graham wasn't spiritual enough for her. And so she kind of played hard to get. That's a whole other story. But anyway, they eventually got married, and then she made this statement. She said, when God's power came on Billy Graham, he was going all over the world, and she said, he was always leaving. She said, in that hurtful situation of having to be alone in that boarding school, God taught me and prepared me for a lifetime of goodbyes. And she was ready for it. And God enabled her to have victory in that situation because God is working behind the scenes. Now, the last thing I wanted to say to you is from the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter. So go over to Philippians chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, this is one of the greatest passages on contentment. Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We must trust God's providence. That's the first blank. God is in control. It's like God working behind the scenes. It's like a beautiful tapestry. We're behind the rug, and all we see are the messed up yarn. But on the other side, God is making a beautiful picture out of our life. So we trust his providence, and Paul says, look, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned to trust God no matter what the situation is. And look what he says. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, when he says, I have learned, in the old King James it says, I am instructed. Here's what he's saying. He said, I am initiated. I have learned the secret. He's telling us that he's learned a secret. And the secret is verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when we think about contentment, ultimately we have to trust God to know that in his providence, he's allowing us in the circumstances that we're in. When the Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace, they said to the king, they said, we don't have to discuss this. We're only going to serve our God. We're not going to bow down. And so they threw them into the fire, and they were not delivered necessarily out of the fire. They were delivered in the fire. And there was actually the presence of God in the fire. There's an old song that quartets used to sing, the fourth man in the fire. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ was in the presence. His presence was in that fire. So he says, I've learned, I've been initiated. I've learned, I've had a lot and I've had not much. I've been hungry and I've abounded. But he said, I've learned that I can be content in whatever situation I'm in because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We must trust God's providence. We must trust God's power. So let me say this. as you feel discontented in your circumstances, I encourage you to write down the things you're thankful for. You're thankful for the presence of God. You're thankful for the power of God. You're thankful for what you can learn through the circumstances that you're in. And then, Lord willing, you learn the secret. The secret is, he says, and that phrase is in verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned the secret, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So, contentment. It's a great quality that we need in our lives. There was a little girl who was perfectly healthy. She went to a doctor, and the doctor put the wrong medicine in her eyes. And at 6 weeks old, she was blinded. Her name was Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby wrote, Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And on and on. And then she wrote, Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him. Great song. And then she wrote in our hymnal, of course those are in our hymnal too, but hymn 337, Fanny Crosby. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And throughout the millennia, Christians who have known deep suffering have found at the same time the gift of joy. Suffering and joy are not mutually exclusive. Little Fanny Crosby, blinded at 6 weeks because of a doctor's mistake, wrote when she was only nine these words. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that others don't, that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. She wrote that at age nine. What a treasure. She wrote 8,000 hymns. And she says that she's going to be content even in her circumstances. I don't know what it is you're going through. I know what I'm going through. But I don't know what you're going through. But I know this. I know that there, Paul says, I have been initiated in a secret. I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, I can be content because, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.